hello, sons and hello, brothers. It's time again for Stuff I Want to Say, mostly to men. Welcome back. It is mid-August. It's exactly August 16th on a Wednesday evening, August 16th. Late summer here in Michigan at Bittersweet Farm. We are experiencing the fastest summer in the history of my life. And I don't know what it's been like for you, but it's a good thing for a man to remember to number his days and apply his heart to wisdom. That's the prayer of Moses in Psalm 90. Wise men number their days, and they realize how short life is. I wrote a book about this, Sunset on Summer. If you don't have it, you should go grab a copy. You can get it cheap on the internet. Look at Amazon or go to the website, kenpierpont.com, and look at my book page, and you can order a copy of Sunset on Summer. I wrote something a number of years ago. Two of the guys that listen to this podcast regularly are our sons, Daniel and Wesley, and this story is about them. Before I tell that, let me tell you a little something about listeners. Before I forget, number one, if you'd like a copy of the book I'm about to read from, it's my new book called Willows by the Water. Now, it's new because I just published it, but it's stories that happened while the kids were growing up. So I wrote them over the years, but I put them together and I put them in this book, Willows by the Water. And if you're a parent or grandparent, you probably would like these stories, and they'll remind you of your own stories. And I'll read one of those now. But if you'd like a copy of this, here's the deal. I'll put you on the honor system. If you will rate and review my podcast, you know, go on iTunes and leave it a rating and review. Now, if you're going to leave a really good review and a good rating. If not, just forget I said this. Anyway, go on to iTunes or Spotify or whatever. You can rate and review. Or if you want to, you can share the podcast with friends with a recommendation. And if you do that on your honor, just send me an email, point me to it, or just let me know you did it. I'm going to send you back a link where you can download a free digital copy in whatever format you need of Willows by the Water. And I'm also doing a newsletter called Substack. If you like reading, and you can watch videos there, listen to podcasts, and read stuff, see pictures, and you know, hopefully just encouraging, edifying stuff. It's kenpierpont.substack.com. If you subscribe there, you can also get the copy of Willows by the Water by subscribing to Substack. So two ways to get the free book is subscribe to Substack or rate and review the podcast. Man, I would appreciate it if you would do that. I'd love for more guys to be able to hear it. I want to say hi to Mike. Mike wrote the other day and he said that I have been his companion and friend while he's been mowing his lawn all summer. He's been listening to Stuff I Want to Say. Thanks, Mike. God bless you. I'm looking forward to the next time we get up to Pleasant Valley Bible Camp. Enjoy the Friday night fish fry and the fellowship with the men. Hope we can do that again sometime. And I have a fond memory of spending time with you and your boys there. Thanks, Mike, for saying that. Oldest nephew Jimmy Evans lives in the deep south, far away from Michigan, where he grew up. He wrote and he said he's been listening to the Stuff I Want to Say podcast, and it's been encouraging to him because it reminds him of stuff that he was taught growing up, and it's just a reminder of that stuff. Jimmy, God bless you, and thanks for listening to the Stuff I Want to Say podcast. Thanks for writing and telling about it, and others of you have written. I'd love to hear from you. I want to give you a shout out when you write. Let me know how it's been helpful to you, and let me know where you are when you listen and what you're doing. I'd love to know that. Here's a little story that I want to read to you, and I got some kind of a smorgasbord of stuff today. Here's a little story that I wrote a number of years ago. It's called Swift Growing Trees. One evening, I was reading on the porch, enjoying the cool of the evening. The sun set and the light faded. I put my book away, and I enjoyed the cool evening and the lights blinking on the darkening night. The moon rose into the eastern sky, looked big as it always does when it's near the horizon. And for a moment, the moon hovered between two spruce trees at the corner of the neighbor's house. Beyond was the spire of Trinity Church. For the first time, it occurred to me how much and how quickly the trees had grown. We lived in the house about 6 years. In that time, the trees had grown from below the roof line to 3 feet above the roof line. I hadn't taken time before to notice that they were growing, but they were. And it made me think about Daniel and Wesley, who are young boys now. Sometimes I think I'm going to look away. When I look back, they'll be grown and making plans for the future. They won't sleep in the next room anymore. They won't come into my room every night to talk a little before they go to sleep. Their schedules won't be so open for me to take them hiking or camping. They won't be waiting around to ride bikes. They won't bring me my ball glove or my football or the football in the evening. Little boys are like healthy young spruce trees. If we're not careful, they'll grow tall while we're not paying attention. Father in heaven, help this earthly father today to pay attention to how quickly my little sons and daughters will grow big. Help them grow straight and beautiful for you, Lord. I know a tree is a miracle of God. How much more a little soul growing into godly manhood or womanhood. Remind me every day how swift growing my children are. Amen. That's one of the stories that you will get when you get a copy of Willows by the Water. It's probably, I didn't count, 20, 25 different stories. Some are long, some are short. They're stories of faith and they're stories of family. And I hope there's stories that will inspire you and that will encourage you when you, in raising your own kids or in influencing your own grandkids. All right, here's another little piece I want to read to you that I wrote. It's also part of the book. And it's entitled, What to Do with Girls. So maybe you got girls or you got granddaughters or daughters. And as a man, it might be a little bit tricky for you to know of things that girls would like to do. So let me just read this one to you, What to Do with Girls. I read a lot of books. Some of them are devotional. Some of them are theological. Some of them are informational. A few are recreational. One of my favorite recent reads is a practical little book written by a fellow named Dan Bolin. This little treasure is packed full of creative, humorous ways to love your daughter or your daughters. It's called How to Be Your Daughter's Daddy, subtitled 365 Ways to Show Your Daughter You Care. Since I've never been a little girl, it's a helpful book. Here are a sample of Dan's suggestions. Together, roast miniature marshmallows with two toothpicks over the flame of a candle. I did that with Hannah one day. Ask her to help you put air in the tires of the car. Compliment her character and skill three times more frequently than you compliment her on her appearance. Be sure that you take her to Sunday school and church. Take time to talk with her in a room before she goes to sleep at night. Make eye contact with her when you talk to her. Make mini pizzas using English muffins topped with pizza sauce, cheese, and slices of pepperoni. Get her a special nightlight. Pray with her at bedtime. Sing with her in the car. Tell her she has a beautiful smile. Ask her questions that she can't answer yes or no. Here's one of my favorites. Kiss her mother in her presence. Here are a couple I thought up. Teach her to make coffee for you when you need to taste test her cookies. Get her her own library card and visit the library together at least once a month. Have her rollerblade while you run. Some of you might want a rollerblade while she runs. It's hard to list ideas and to think of the precious little girls the Lord's given me without tears of love and gratitude. When you have a little girl, every day's a treasure. When I look at old pictures or videos of our three little daughters, I always get a lump in my throat. That's four now. They won't live with me forever. Someday another man will enjoy their cookies and their smile. They'll be grown and gone, and I won't be able to go with them to their room at night, pray with them, and tuck them in. Maybe you wondered how Dan Bolin, the author of How to Be Your Daughter's Daddy, came up with all those good ideas. Well, Dan had a sense of urgency about spending as much time with his little daughter, Katie, as possible. His daughter was only 4 years old when they discovered that she had leukemia. When she was nine, little Katie went to heaven. After they discovered her disease, Dan had only 5 more years to live with his daughter. I hope I can keep Dan's book and use it with my daughter's daughters, but we have no promise of tomorrow. Like Gloria Gaither wrote, we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone, and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. Heavenly Father, thank you for the precious little girls you've entrusted to me for a short time. Forgive me for my selfishness, and help me make every moment count. And until Dan and Katie are together again in a place where death never separates, bless him for reminding us to love our daughters while we can. And now, P.S., it's Saturday morning, April 10th, and if the ultrasound is right, another little girl will join us today. Postscript. God is gracious providence. On Tuesday morning, April 20th, 1999, at 5:27, sent into our lives a beautiful, healthy baby daughter. Mom and baby are both well. The Pine Street Parsonage is filled with joy for the last week as friends and neighbors have come to hold the baby and leave food and gifts. And we're overwhelmed by the goodness of God and the kindness of his people. And we are rejoicing in hope. Romans 12:12. That was the birth of Little Hope America, who is now, I think, 24. She's a married woman, doesn't live too far from here. And she is turned into a delightful young woman that we love very much. Last Sunday, she came to church over at Bethel Church. Her husband, Tim, who also listens to this podcast. Hello, Tim. Her husband, Tim, is a nurse. And when he works on Sunday, Hope will often come and join us at the Bethel Church. Sit with us, sit with Mom while I preach, and I can, you know, use her as a sermon illustration. And if I say something funny, she always laughs. She's a good egg like that. So guys, if you haven't really noticed, what I've been doing here today on the podcast is emphasizing a truth that's super important for every man. As a matter of fact, thinking about this truth, which is frequently repeated in the Bible, there's a sense in which it's a major theme in the Bible. But thinking about this truth has an amazing good effect on you and your marriage and your parenting. And that is what I called earlier from Psalm 90, the prayer of Moses. In Psalm 90 and verse 12. In the previous part of the chapter, it talks about our sin and God's holiness and the troubles that we have. And then in Psalm 90, verse 12, it says, so teach us, this is the prayer of Moses, teach us to number our days that we may apply our heart to wisdom. Give us a heart of wisdom. And then after that, it gives promises. So it talks about the brevity of life and the trouble of life, that life is sin and that life is short and sinful and can be sad. But then it says, teach us to number our days. And then it gives us promises attendant to that. When a man numbers his days, when he applies his heart to wisdom, when a man thinks deeply about eternity and the brevity of life and facing God and facing the judgment of God and God's holiness and righteousness and his justice and his grace, good things happen when a man thinks frequently about that. So I wrote a whole book full of stories that remind men that life is short. And I've just noticed as a pastor, one of the most powerful things that I can do to help people is just to remind them of the brevity of life. And that's one of the reasons why there are passages all over the Bible that come to mind when I think about the brevity of life. For instance, in Psalm 39 and verse 4, it says, O Lord, make me know my end and what is the measure of my days, and let me know how fleeting I am. Behold, you have made my hands a few handbreadths, and my life is as nothing before you. Surely all mankind stands as a mere breath. Surely a man goes about as a shadow. And so, surely for nothing they are in turmoil. A man heaps up wealth and does not know who will gather it. And now, O Lord, for what do I wait? My hope is in you. And you should read the rest of that psalm. That's Psalm 39. So you read Psalm 90, study that. Psalm 39, the scriptures talk about the brevity of life. James wisely wrote, believe that was Jesus' brother, James, wisely wrote about seeing life as a mist or as a vapor, just recognizing how short life is. You're going to witness to your neighbors more likely if you think about how short life is. You're going to call your parents and have a conversation or honor your mother or your father when you think about how short life is. Years ago, I lived in South Bend, Indiana, and I was an associate pastor there, the Fulkerson Park Baptist Church in South Bend, which is now Redeemer Church, good church in South Bend. Pastor by a guy named Brian Hedges. What a fine guy. Anyway, I used to be on staff at that church, and my grandmother and my grandfather were in every service, the Shipleys, my mother's mom and dad. Bud and Charlotte Shipley were devout believers, and they were Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night attenders at church. You could count on them being there. You'd look back, they would be right there in the place that they loved, about three or four rows from the back in the center, just to the right a little bit at Fulkerson Park Baptist Church. And every once in a while, I would drop by and visit with Grandma and Grandpa. Grandpa didn't say much. He's quiet, and Grandma was more talkative. And so I'd stop in, and we would have a nice visit. They had a little home there on Otten Road, and I loved it because when you would step in, it reminded you of going there for Christmas for so many years. Just a part of my life and a part of the memories in my heart. Just a little tiny, humble, green asbestos shingle place there, just north of Notre Dame, right near the state line. And when you'd walk in, it would always smell like coffee. Just had this wonderful smell to it. And when I was the pastor, associate pastor there at the church, every once in a while I'd drop in, not as often as I should have, because I would get busy. And then I would do other things, and I'd speed up 31 past Otten Road, and I'd say, I'll come back another time. But when I would visit, sometimes it'd be too long since I had visited, and I would stop in, and I would sit with my grandma and grandpa, and my grandma would say, oh, we missed you, wish you'd stop by more. You certainly can stop by more often. Every once in a while, maybe once or twice, I remember her saying, you know, we're not always going to be here. We're not always going to be here. And of course, now when I go to South Bend, I don't go to see my grandma and grandpa because both of them are with the Lord. And that little house, the little greenhouse with the asbestos shingles on Otten Road, a lot of times I'll drive down that road and I'll slow down, sometimes even take a photograph to remember it. But the people who live in that house are strangers to me now. For all of my life, for many, many years, my grandma and grandpa were there, and Thanksgiving and Christmas and summer vacations, and maybe Labor Day or Memorial Day, when we could get away, we would get there, and we would have such happy times with good Christian people who loved the Lord and supported missionaries and loved the local church and talked about it, and they were faithful, and God had done a remarkable work of grace in their lives, reuniting their broken marriage, saving them both, and they just had a deep love for the Lord. But they're gone now with the Lord, and I couldn't visit with them now if I wanted to. It reminds us that when we have people that we can love, we should love them while we can. When we have life, we should live life while we can. And while we're alive, we should prepare to meet God. Gentlemen, a man is aware of that. A man is deeply aware of the brevity of this life and the length of eternity. And he doesn't allow his life to be devoured by things that are empty. And he doesn't allow his life to be derailed by things that are evil, because he thinks about eternal things. Maybe it would help you if I showed you something from the book of Ecclesiastes. And we thought about Solomon's life and the importance of having eternity vision, being able to have eternity in our hearts. Solomon had every imaginable pleasure. Listen to Ecclesiastes 2, 1 through 3. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure. But surely this also was vanity. I said of laughter, madness, and of mirth, what does it accomplish? I searched my heart to gratify my flesh with wine. Solomon had every imaginable pleasure. Chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Solomon also had money and things, chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. I made my works great. I built myself houses. I planted myself vineyards. I made myself gardens and orchards, and I planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made myself water pools from which to water the growing trees of the grove. I acquired male and female servants, and I had servants born in my house. Yes, I had greater possessions of herds and flocks than all who were in Jerusalem before me. I also acquired male and female singers, the delights of the sons of men, and all kinds of musical instruments. Solomon had every imaginable pleasure, and Solomon had money and things. Solomon also had fame and friends. Ecclesiastes 2 and verse 9. So I became great and excelled more than all who were before me in Jerusalem, and yet my wisdom remained with me. But there's something that Solomon did not have. Even though he had every imaginable pleasure, and he had money and things, and he had fame and friends and all the stuff that went with that, Solomon did not have joy or deep satisfaction with them. Listen to chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I did not withhold my heart from any pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my reward from all my labor. And then I looked on all the works that my hands had done, and on the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity, and grasping for the wind, and there was no profit under the sun. None of these things can satisfy us alone, because we were all created by God with eternity in our hearts. So we'll never be satisfied by multiplying pleasures or money and things and fame and friends alone, because we have God created us with a longing for himself in our heart, which he calls a longing for eternity in our hearts. How often and how deeply do you think of eternal things, men, or especially see temporal things in the light of eternal realities? Now, that's what faith is. Faith is seeing eternity. Faith is seeing eternity. Faith is eternity vision. Granddaughter Kira walks up to me once and she says, I have the power to freeze you. What special powers do you have? Well, there's a sense in which faith is it's a shot of eternity vision that empowers and inspires us upward to God. And this is a gift that God gives to us, the gift of faith. Study Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and following. The people of faith and what they accomplished. Study John 14, 19 through 25, 1 Peter 1, 8 and 9. And they talk to us about those things. Those writers have written to us about the great, genuine, spiritual, eternal, real, significant wealth that accrues to those who have eternity vision, who have faith, who see eternal things clearly. I have a brother-in-law, Jim Evans, and Jim is a hunter. And I would drive to Bible conferences with Jim back in the day. We'd be driving up through Michigan, and he would see deer on the tree line so far away. He would have to point out, he'd have to describe them and almost take my chin and point it toward the deer for me to see him. He saw things. He saw deer. He saw wildlife that I didn't see, because he had vision for it. And God wants us to have faith, which is eternity vision. A man needs to be able to have a clear vision of the future according to what God has taught. And there are times when it's very important to have this eternity vision. For instance, you need eternity vision or faith when you're trying to determine the value of things. And you need eternity vision or faith when you're going through trouble, and you need eternity vision or faith when you're tempted with solicitation to sin. And you need eternity vision or faith when you have a decision to make about time, and you need eternity vision or faith when you see people, when you evaluate people. Let's go over those a little more carefully and think about them. You need eternity vision or faith when you're trying to determine the value of things. How do you see things? Earth vision or eternity vision? This is in Revelation. You can see there are two camera angles, if you will, or are two camera placements. One camera is like in heaven, heaven cam, and the other's on earth. And so in Revelation, you'll have one chapter that describes the throne room of heaven, or two chapters that describe the celebration in heaven, and then chapters that describe the chaos on earth. You have one camera angle from heaven, or camera view from heaven, and one from earth. And a person with eternity vision has a heaven cam in his heart. He thinks about what's going on in heaven and what's going to be going on in heaven. And so therefore he sees things in the light of things that eternal. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. Here's what the scripture says. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, when the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be with lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we wait for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. This is eternity vision. This is faith, gentlemen. And this is what we want to cultivate and seek God for when we're evaluating things. I heard once about a young man that who went to Mexico on a missions trip with Dr. Bredfeld from Moody. And he was a prosperous kid. He was a nice-looking, athletic, prosperous kid. And Dr. Bredfeld couldn't really engage him spiritually. But they were in Mexico, and they were working, digging a footer for a building in the hot Mexican sun. And Dr. Bredfeld looked over at this kid, and he was weeping. And he couldn't figure out why until he looked beyond him, and he realized what had happened is the guys had some sandwiches to eat for lunch, but they set them out in the hot sun, and they ruined. So they took the sandwiches and they threw them into a ditch. But some little boys had come up from the village, and they were watching the work, and they found the sandwiches in the ditch. And when the young man looked over there, the little boys were just hungrily eating those sandwiches, and the young man began to weep. And after that, he was never the same. Eventually, he followed the Lord into full-time Christian work, and he had a real heart of devotion to God because he got eternity vision. He saw through the eyes of faith. And so we're told to hold temporal things loosely and cleave to eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:17 to 19 says, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, and let them be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." And so when you're thinking about things, you need eternity vision. When you're going through trouble, you need eternity vision. So see things through the eyes of faith, or future vision, or eternity vision, and see your troubles through the eyes of faith, through eternity vision. Understand that one day when we're with the Lord, we're going to look back on our troubles, and they're going to be light momentary. We're going to see that they're light and momentary, but they have an eternal weight of glory. And in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 18, it's always useful to read this passage and to study what God has to say about the future and about eternity. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. And then it goes on in chapter 8 to talk about the future. We have suffering now, but it's not to be compared to the glory that's going to be in the future. Gentlemen, a man that's a godly man, that's a believing man, that's an influential spiritual man, he has eternity vision. He sees that. He understands, though he's going through trouble, and trouble is common in life, that there's going to be eternal compensation in time and quality. And that's something that he lays hold on, and that's something he teaches his loved ones. He has eternity vision when it comes to things, and when it comes to trouble, and when it comes to temptation. He sees what's this going to be like when we look back on it from eternity? Somebody said, it was John Piper said, sin is what you do when you're no longer satisfied with God. Or when with eternity vision, you see the hook and you see the bait. And not just the bait, but you see the hook. And we are motivated to godliness in the hope of eternal life. Titus 1, 1 and 2, Paul Bond, servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and to the acknowledgement of the truth which accords with godliness in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. Look at your temptations through the eyes of eternity vision. Look at your troubles through the eyes of eternity vision. Look at things through the eyes of eternity vision. Look at time through the eyes of eternity vision. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, thieves break in and steal. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Study also 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9, Hebrews 11, 23. And be familiar with this passage that I just read, Matthew 6, 19 through 21. There's another piece that's very important, and that is when you think about people. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, 16, in the light of the cross, he never sees anyone from a merely human point of view again. Ask God to help you see people the way God sees people. Ask God to help you see people the way you will see people in eternity. Have eternity vision when it comes to people, when it comes to time, when it comes to temptation, when it comes to trouble, when it comes to things. Have eternity vision. Ask God to help you see things that way. Well, ask yourself, what was their past like, people in your life? What's their inner life like? What's going on in their lives? What's Satan trying to do in their lives? What's their future going to be like? Study that. Really, you need eternity vision or faith at every crossroad of life, at every sunrise, every sunset, every victory, every defeat, every heartache, every joy. Satan would love to distract you. He would love to confuse you. And if you don't have eternity vision in your heart, you'll regret it someday. This is the way the aged apostle John wrote it. To the churches in 1 John 5:13, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. Faith is the currency with which we buy spiritual treasures. Jesus said, according to your faith, be it unto you. So do you have eternity vision? Do you see things in trouble and temptation and time with eternity vision? Or you think in terms of eternity? It's super helpful to think that during all these different passages of time in your life, gentlemen. And it's kind of what separates, literally, what separates the men from the boys. Have you ever had the experience of getting up in the middle of the night hungry and going down to the, or out to the kitchen or down to the kitchen and open the fridge and looking inside and saying, I want something, but I just don't know what it is I want. And then, so it is with the great refrigerator of life, the smorgasbord of life. A man can stand there in the night before the open refrigerator and say, I'm hungry and I just don't know what it is I want. Or he can stand before life and just say, is it pleasure that I want? Is it money that I want? Is it things that I want? Is it fame? Or is it fortune? Or is it friends? Or is it possessions? Or is it power? And if so, why don't I have satisfaction in the things I have now, which are probably more than the things that I had when I was younger? And maybe the answer is certainly, gentlemen, the answer is cultivate vision for eternity. Think about ultimate things in heaven. Think about how the things that you're, the way you're spending your time and the things that you're buying and the relationships that you have and people have an impact on all of eternity. It changes everything when you put on the glasses of eternity vision, guys. That's just a hopeful, helpful thing I wanted to say to you. In my book, Sunset on Summer, the title story is a story that is really dear to our family. It goes way, way back on to the first summer when our oldest, you know, Kyle was graduating from high school and getting ready to go away to serve in a missionary organization. This week, Dan and Wes, our sons that live in Texas, are coming to Michigan, and our two sons that are in Michigan and some of our other kids that are around this area, and we're going to spend some time together. And we're going to have a little reunion. A little Waylon Wesley's coming with his dad, Danny. And maybe there'll be some fishing or camping or wading in Lake Michigan Ocean or something like that. And we'll have memories that we make. But when we think back, I remember that we were on Labor Day and it just felt like summer had gone by so quickly. And then it would be gone and that things were going to change. And our oldest son, Kyle, was helping a dairy farmer, working on a dairy farm. And he had to work with the evening milking, but then he'd be home. And we just said, hey, why don't you, when you come home on Labor Day, why don't you come home, get home quick. We'll jump in the car and we'll drive over to Grand Haven. We lived in Fremont. I don't know, it was 40 minutes away or something like that. And we said, we can get there before the sun sets and we can hike out the boardwalk and we can watch the last sunset this summer. So he hurried home from work in his little brown Volvo and we jumped in the family van. We drove as quick as it was legal to do out to Grand Haven. And then we started striding out toward the lighthouse that sits out into Lake Michigan there. And some of the littler people fell behind and the boys were kind of out ahead. And we got out to the end of them and we watched the sun sink out of sight and the purple, blue and purple evening come on. And the orange sky is just there's a breeze blowing. It was cool. And there was a feeling in Grand Haven on that last sunset of summer. There's just a sense of, almost a sense of melancholy, a peacefulness. Things are changing, seasons changing. And when the sun set, there were other people that were lying in that area and watching the sunset. And a number of them said the same thing. You could hear them say it. The sensation that you have when the sun sets, they would say, that was over. That was over so fast. That sunset was over so fast. And my heart was tender when I thought about our firstborn that just seemed like he was born a few days before. Now he's grown and he's going off and starting his own life away from our family. And I thought to myself, that was over so fast. I vowed to myself to walk slow and breathe deep and think long, think eternity, and cling closely to the people that you love while you can. Because life will soon be over, and it'll be over so fast. Gentlemen, that's one of the most important things I could ever teach you or remind you about that the Bible teaches, and that is to take advantage of the time that you have while you can in order to enhance eternity, all of eternity. May God give you eternity vision. Jesus, thank you for this time. And for the men that listen to the podcast, I pray that it'd be useful for them. Pray that you keep them safe, that you would stir their hearts up to lay hold of God and have a vision for things eternal, faith, that they'd live by faith and be men of faith, and that there'd be exploits of faith, stories of faith to tell for generations to come. And keep them safe, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.